Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studio. Good morning. What's up? My name is Jim Rome. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I'm in Southern California. Nice to be with you on this Tuesday. How y'all living? What's going on? Hope you're having a great day. In fact, I hope you clones are all having great lives. Nice to have you here. I don't know whether or not that's the case. I hope that is the case. But what I can promise you is a great show. Open phone first hour. Interview starting in hour number two. So here's how it lays out for you. 1-800-636-8686. Call right now. It's Tuesday. You know I've got thoughts on the Monday night matchup, which I will get to momentarily. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The interview is set up like this. Top of hour number two, Detroit Pistons forward Tobias Harris makes his return to the jungle. Coming up in hour number three, and the third hour is a busy hour. I've got two interviews there. At 20 past 11 Pacific time, Michigan State forward Tum Tum Naren. Also in hour number three, L.A. Chargers running back Melvin Gordon. It is a Podcast Tuesday, episode 12 already. Dropping later on today, Nate Boyer is my guest. A single guest podcast. When we started doing it, we were doubling up every single week, but I'm trying to find people that can carry an entire podcast. And we've had some luck doing that lately. So Nate Boyer joins us. Veterans Day is coming up later on this week. I thought it was a perfect time to reconnect with him, talk about the issues of the day. And I think that a lot of you know that name, but really don't know his backstory, which is amazing. And it's perfect for the pod. So I'll have that for you a little bit later on. In fact, I'll have a preview of that. And yes, the voicemail did live to fight another week. So I'll preview that too. 1-800-636-8686. Open phones in the first hour. Call me up right now. Let's talk about last night's game first. You know, every so often, you have to step back and make a bold statement. Drop a straight truth on people, whether they want to hear it or not. And I'm not afraid to do it. In fact, they pay me to do it. It's my job to say things that other people think but do not have the stones to actually say. Well, I do, and I will. And here it is. Here's some more of that. After watching Detroit beat Green Bay in Lambeau last night, I am ready to deliver a stone-cold fact. Are you ready for the fire? Can you handle the fire? Here it is, whether you want it or not, whether you're ready for it or not. I am starting to think that the Green Bay Packers are not the same team without Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I said it, and I stand by it. The Green Bay Packers are not the same team without Aaron Rodgers. And listen, you don't just come out here and spit molten lava like that without the facts to back it up. Yeah, you don't believe me? You don't believe me? You want some proof? Why don't we start with the fact that Detroit beat Green Bay in Green Bay? The Lions don't do that. They don't just go into Lambeau and win ever for any reason. That's not who they are, and that's not how they roll. Before last night, they had won a grand total of one game in the last 25 years at Lambeau. And they were going into last night's game, having dropped three straight to close out October. Lose last night, and their season is probably over. In fact, it is over. So you Lion fans can't tell me that deep down you were not fearing the worst. You can't tell me that you weren't worried that Aaron Rodgers would somehow run onto the field with the 13 screws in his collarbone and still find a way to beat you. Or that Brett Hundley would somehow channel Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and light your defense up. Except it never happened. Instead, Matthew Stafford was the guy lighting up defenses. 26 of 33, 361 yards, two touchdowns, no picks, and he made it look easy. Even when Green Bay tried to make it tough by blitzing, he was still 12 of 18, 252 yards and a score. They became the first Lions team in nearly 50 years to go a game without punting. Instead of yet another painful trip to the not-so-frozen tundra, Lions fans were treated to plays like this from Matthew Stafford to Marvin Jones Jr.
Lions on second and nine from the Packer 11. Stafford out of the gun. He's got it. Wants to throw. Looking right. Throws. End zone. It is. Did he get it? He did. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Marvin Jones. Oh, what a catch. Oh, what a throw, what a catch, what a night so far.
Lions Radio. Also, you had Golden Tate's unbelievable catch and toe drag.
Stafford has got Riddick to his right. He gets the snap. He rolls out of the pocket. He cocks his arm. He throws on the run. It's a spinning, twisting catch, and it was made on the sideline. A chest-high grab by Golden Tate in front of his own bench.
Wow, what a catch.
Woof.
That's a terrific catch by Golden Tate, tippy-toeing down the right sideline.
Westwood One, my man Boomer. And if the plays were good, the first TD celebration was even better.
Matthews got it, wants to throw, looks right, throws out there, wants Marvin Jones, end zone. Did he catch it? You bet, touchdown Detroit Lions. Oh, Marvin locked up with Devon House down the right sideline. Stafford dropped it in the basket. Marvin hauled it in, 25 yards, and a touchdown.
They had a little fun celebration in the end zone. A little boxing thing going on.
A little boxing thing. You know what that was? Imagine that, the Lions going to Lambeau and busting out a rock'em sock'em robot celebration in the end zone. Lambeau is supposed to be a house of horrors, and they turned it into their living room. If Aaron Rodgers were playing last night, it could have been a classic. Could have been a classic shootout between Pro Bowl quarterbacks. Instead, it was Stafford picking apart the Packers and Hundley doing the best he could against Detroit. Just ask Lions corner Darius Slay, quote, "We just knew that Hundley would not be able to do the stuff that Aaron does at the line of scrimmage, so we just wanted to go out there and make it tough for him. He is a talented guy. He's an NFL quarterback for sure, but we just knew it'd be tough for him to make all the checks like Rodgers does." Listen, Hundley cannot make the checks that Rodgers does. He can't make the throws that Rodgers makes. He can't pull crazy plays out of his backside the way Aaron Rodgers does. That's not even a swipe at Brett Hundley, who's a talented guy, but almost nobody can do the things that Aaron Rodgers can do. The fact that there was no Aaron Rodgers definitely made Detroit's night easier, but don't look for them to give it back. They're not going to, nor should they, and Matt Stafford is not going to apologize for who they beat.
Every game is huge, you know, especially a division game on the road in a tough place to play like Lambeau. It was a game we were, excited about, a Monday nighter. I'm just glad we came out and performed. It was a total team win. Our defense played great. Our special teams was great as well.
Total team win. Defense played great. Special teams played great. Blah, blah, blah. No, they had to have it. It doesn't matter who they beat to get it. They had to have it. Had to have it. And further proof that the Packers are not the same team without Aaron Rodgers. Yes, I said it again. And I'm not coming off it. This is why I'm the pimp in the box. This is why I'm the man behind the mic, because I'm not afraid to say things like that. The Packers are not the same team without Aaron Rodgers. They're just not. You know what that was? That was a slap. That was me giving myself a tongue for that fire take. The Packers are not the same team without Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I said it. I'm telling you, that's why they pay me what they pay me. To say things that other people think but will not say. Don't make me say it again. Let's check Twitter right off the top. Trevor Douglas, great take on the Green Bay team. Straight fire. Take the rest of the day off, Romy. You can't top that take, right? I could walk off on that. I could walk off on that today. I could walk off on that for the rest of my career. I may never have a more fire-laden take than that. At Ray and St. Paul tweets, "Careful, Jimmos. The CBS suits will not let you stay on the air if you keep spitting straight fire like that." Yeah, I know, right? You got to push the envelope. You got to raise that bar. You got to put yourself out there. Sometimes you just have to spit molten lava. Somebody's got to do it, and I'm not afraid. At Lawson Racing 20L, Cam Newton was right. Just got to stay on the Titanic and ride it out. Everything should be fine.
The Titanic still has to go.
The Titanic still has to go. He signed at the Green Bay Packers. The Titanic still has to go. And sometimes you just got to eat a W. The Titanic still has to go. Anybody hungry for a W tonight? All right, so they're not the same without him. Damn, I said it again. Man, I am on fire. All right, other NFL topics. The Cleveland Browns are coming off their bye, but that does not mean that we're not talking about them. In fact, I could do an entire program on the Browns. I could do an entire show on the Browns. Hell, I can do this entire show every day about the Browns. What I'm saying to you is I could do a show every single day about the Browns and not talk about anything but the Browns and never talk about anything else, and it would probably be better than the show that I currently do. The Browns are giving me that much fodder. I'm talking about Josh Gordon. Come to find out, and the source is Gordon himself, he has played every football game, so he says, reportedly, allegedly, according to Josh Gordon. He has played every single football game dating back to college, either high or drunk. Or at least started every football game with a bong rip, rolling up a blunt, or doing shots or drinking. Every single game. Every game in his NFL career, and every game going back to college. That's what he says. He says he's good now. He's clean, he's sober, he's ready to come back. But he said that he started every single game with bong rips or shots. That's going to take a while to set up. Other NFL news. Hey, Avi, just want to give you a heads up. This is going to be a take onto itself. I'm not going to do it right here. But when I get to the take about the Denver Broncos, I'm going to need a little music. Pop quiz, young man. What music do you think that is? What song do you think it is? I'll give you one guess. Go ahead. Just pop it. That's it. The Lobster gets another start. Brock Lobster. And Vance Joseph wants him to think, and the rest of us to think, that he's going to start him again because, quote, he earned that start. Sure he didn't, but he will, so that's great. In the NBA, you know the NBA season is officially underway when LeBron goes to the gram to subtweet or subpost or subgram, whatever it is. You know it was coming, except not this early. And LeBron's back to doing it once again. So now we know the NBA season is officially underway. That story is coming up a little bit later on. It is Podcast Tuesday. Episode number 12 of the Jim Rome Podcast drops shortly after the program. Today's guest, Nate Boyer. I think you're going to like that a lot. I think you'll learn something if you listen to that. Elsewhere, college football, Ohio State. Well, if I were Lindale White, I would say it. Ohio State still sucks. And everybody's coming for them. Their fans, the media, and even their own women's water polo team. A women's water polo blast against Herb and the
Ohio
Buckeyes.
State sucks.
All right, so that's how it's setting up. And we've got open phones now. Number one is I look over at the phone board. I like what I see. Thing looks like a freaking Christmas tree. It's going off. One line's open, 1-800-636-8686. Come and get some.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Tobias Harris coming up next hour. So we are wide open between now and then. I do want to talk about the Browns, and I'm going to need some time to set that up. Those comments made by Josh Gordon are really something. Now, of course, Josh Gordon has made comments in the past and said things like, I went to rehab, I want to get clean, I want to get sober, and then he doubled back after the fact and said it was just a PR ploy. I just said it because it sounded right, it looked right. So we have to get into that, and you can make some sense of what you think that may or may not be. And then you've got Denver. The Broncos are going to start the Brock Lobster once again. 1-800-636-8686. And LeBron is subtweeting once again. In fact, why don't we go there for a minute? Football season starts up, and you know it starts with the first kickoff. Hockey season starts when the first puck drops. Baseball season starts with the first pitch. But basketball, yeah, to me, it doesn't officially get underway until LeBron thumbs out his first subtweet, which means last night was the official start, the opening night of the 2017-2018 NBA season. Or at least this is what he probably wishes. Unfortunately for the King, the season actually started 2 weeks ago, but you'd never know it by watching the Cavs. They're still in full summer D-League mode. They're 4-6. I understand the regular season doesn't mean a hell of a lot to them. We've seen that. But they are 4-6. And meanwhile, you look at the top of the East and who's there? The Celtics, 9-2, winners of 9 straight. And led by whom? The guy that LeBron used to know, Uncle Drew himself, or Sir Kyrie Irving. And last night, this cat goes off, 35 in 37 minutes to beat the Hawks. Shortly after that happened is when Braun went sub. He hit his Instagram page with the famous bald fist Arthur the Aardvark meme and the caption, "Mood." And here we go. The NBA season is officially underway. I mean, damn, we went a full 10 games before LeBron dropped a subtweet. Subgram in all of our laps. I guess that's something to be proud of. But just know this, that's no coincidence. It's no coincidence because it never is when LeBron reaches for his phone. It's not like LeBron got all bent trying to put his kids to bed. Or LeBron went reaching for that phone because his wife mistakenly deleted all their shows on their DVR. Nope. Nobody outside of Taylor Swift is more calculated on social media than LeBron James. Every like, every follow, unfollow, tweet, retweet, subtweet. And this one dropped right after Kyrie balled out. No coincidence. LeBron, I get it. We all get it. You're bent. Your former ex is not only thriving with his new team, he's getting his engagement photos plastered all over Facebook, and now they're being shared into your timeline every single night. And you get to see how happy he is with his new team. And while they're killing it, your team is struggling to keep teams under 110 every single night. It's tough. I get it. Breaking up that way, the way you two did, is tough. It's like having to live with a bad tattoo. It's always going to be there. You will always be asked about it, too. You think Jennifer Aniston doesn't still get asked about Brad Pitt?
Inevitable.
You think Nicole Kidman isn't still asked about Tom Cruise? So you better expect to be asked about Kyrie, especially when he goes off the way he did. And to me, the subtweets are not helping his cause, not helping his case, because now people only ask about it even more because he went subtweet or subgram. Look, I get it. You like to use social media to send messages. I also get that fame is one hell of a drug. But my man, help yourself out. Keep that drama and that frustration off of social media. Speaking of social media and people who rush to social media based on what's going on in their lives, have you ever noticed how people only post on social when things in their life are really, really good or when things are really, really bad? Check me out. I'm parasailing in Cancun. I'm backpacking in France. Or I just totaled my car. My cat just died. Or in LeBron's case, my team can't win. And my former running mate is killing it with that new franchise. Listen, when things go wrong, we know. We know. We just don't need you posting about it like some kind of passive, aggressive teenage girl who just broke up with her boyfriend. My man, you're one of the greatest ever. Arguably the GOAT. Act like it. Don't be a bag, just ball. The passive, aggressive subgram and meme. Pretty tired. And I would have to say very much beneath the alleged GOAT.
That's corny.
But I'm not going to tell you how to use your phone. I don't want you telling me how to use my phone. iPhone 10, by the way. But iPhone 10's weird. Weird in the sense that the screen is bigger, but the phone is smaller. And I keep getting out my tape measure to see if that's really true. Like, I don't buy it. I don't believe it. How can the screen be bigger, but the phone is smaller? Anyway, that's what they say. Yeah, don't miss that home button at all. I could just never tell which side is up and which side is down. Is the phone upside down or is the phone right side up? And why can't I wake this thing up? Wake up, bitch. Siri, where are you? Let's go to the phones. Why don't we stay on topic? Let's go to Woodland Hills, San Fernando Valley, 818 for life. Arthur in Woodland Hills. Arthur, good morning. What's up?
Hey, Jim. What's going on? First of all, I don't know how you got your hands on an iPhone 10. Let me get somebody one my way. That'd be great. Second of all, LeBron's tweet, honestly, I have no idea what that means, clenching a fist. It was just funny to me, like you said. The Cavs are looking horrendous, man. I don't know what's going on with their defense, but they look old and they look out of shape. And I know they got Isaiah Thomas coming back, but, I mean, that dude's not going to help their defense at all. If anything, he's going to make it worse. And then, like you said, Kyrie is just balling out in Boston. And it's just honestly, it's fun to watch for me. LeBron is just flailing around. He's probably going to ask for probably another, you know, playmaker and whatnot to help him out because, you know, he just always needs more help. But I don't know. Yeah, not looking good. I mean, I know it's only the first 11 games or 10 games or whatever, but I don't know how you fix defense going down the line. So let's see. I mean, honestly, I don't even know if they come out of the East at this point. So,
Arthur, 818 for life. Racking.
818 for life, baby.
The Clones, that's not that hard. That was a straight take. Straight take, clean take, good take. He didn't just regurgitate what I said. Nice job, Arthur. That's a good take. Yeah, they don't look good. It's early. It's early, and we know the regular season does not mean a hell of a lot to the Cavaliers. It didn't last year when they didn't get the home court. They still came out. But that's not the same team, is it? I mean, what did you really expect? Did Derrick Rose was going to turn back the clock? That Duane was going to turn back the clock? That they weren't going to miss Kyrie? That they don't need IT? That LeBron's not going to carry all that? That they wouldn't get off to a start like this? It's not surprising at all. In response to, you don't know how I got the iPhone 10 the same way everybody got theirs. I stayed up late one night and I started. You have to have a strategy for that type of thing. You know that they let you pre-order those phones. They do this every single year when those phones drop. They let you pre-order at 12:01 Pacific time, 3 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, and then you have to have your strategy. The best strategy that I've found is you order it from your phone, not from your computer. You go off the app on your phone, and that's how I got mine. And it's always challenging because you're up at 12:01. The process usually takes, even if you hit it right, 15, maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you're all amped up and you're geeked up, and then it's hard to fall out. It's hard to get to sleep after that. And then the alarm goes off 3 hours later, unless you're in New York, and then you got to do it in the middle of the night. So I got mine. If you're asking me, how do I like it? Because I was also the idiot who got the 8. I was one of those rare idiots that couldn't wait. Got the 8, then got the 10, and now I have both. But the good news is, the 10, I like the 10, and I don't like the 10, but I'm not putting the 10 back in my drawer to reach for the 8. So that's good. Jake at the NY Bozo tweets, that wasn't a subtweet about Irving. LeBron was just at a hair salon. Right, like Eric Bledsoe. When he tweeted, I don't want to be here. And there's no subtweet about, I don't want to be here. That's not a subtweet. That's a straight tweet. I don't want to be here. A subtweet is LeBron going with a meme and a mood change. An actual tweet is, I don't want to be here. Get my ass out of here. I hate it here. I don't like these guys. I don't like this organization. And then when asked about that, Bledsoe said, no, that's not what I meant. I happened to be at the hair salon when I tweeted, I don't want to be here. The Suns incredibly did not believe him. Meantime, he got what he wanted. Sometimes that's all it takes. You get on your phone and you tweet, I don't want to work here. I don't want to be here. And then you're not there. 16 days after he dropped that tweet, the Suns have given him what he wanted. And they are sending him to Milwaukee for Greg Monroe and a future protected first and second round pick. That according to Woj and ESPN. Kind of hurts your trade value, or kind of hurts your leverage, doesn't it, when a guy's on Twitter saying, I want out. I want out. At Stephen ABQ says, did Jim Rome just wake up, bitch, his new iPhone X or 10? Yeah, I tried. It didn't work. I don't know. I just... Don't read into this. That was just my subtweet. That was just my subtake. Don't read into that. How do you know? How do you know who I was talking to? At Kid Stupendous, wake up, bitch, is probably the best iPhone review I've ever heard. It's just frustrating. Sometimes, you know, because there's no home button now, you sometimes forget. You're learning all the swipe gestures. You sometimes forget how to wake the phone up or how to turn the phone off or how to close apps which are open. It's like a whole new phone. It's not even like a new operating system. It's a new operating system with a new phone. So I don't know. I get frustrated sometimes. Just wake up, bitch. Wake up, dude. Wake up, bro. Come on. I sometimes do that too. Come on. And the phone won't wake up to that. Hey, trust me. I say lots of things to the phone that don't work. Come on.
come on.
How come it won't wake up? Come on, come on, come on. Come on, Siri.
Come on, come on, come on.
Hey, Rome, you're so right. You don't see people on Facebook or Twitter till they're in the midst of hitting absolute rock bottom. Regards, Hawk, just before eating two Hot Pockets.
What?
Tony in Albuquerque. Yeah, that's a shame, isn't it? You ever eat something that you know you're going to regret? And for the first, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes, it's almost like crack. I don't know what crack's like. I've never had it, but I just know. Like, you hit that thing with something you know you shouldn't hit it with. Maybe it's sugar. Maybe it's salt. Maybe in the case of Hawk, it's a couple of Hot Pockets. And, man, it's going down. It's great. It's great for 2 or 3 minutes. And then the shame sets in, doesn't it? Shameful. And you know, I just went on a Hot Pocket bender. I shouldn't have done that. I knew I shouldn't have done that. But, like, when that Hot Pocket got into your bloodstream, it's almost like he had a syringe and he slammed a Hot Pocket into it and then he hit that spike hard right into his bloodstream. Hawk, let us all in. What's it like when you shoot that pepperoni Hot Pocket into your bloodstream and that thing hits your bloodstream directly? What's that like? Hawk's eyes were like rolling upside his head.
Hot Pocket!
Hey, Rome. I can't wait until LeBron starts posting ex-girlfriend anecdotes like the grass is always greener on the other side, or in order to see a rainbow, you must experience some rain, or the proverbial, you can't get any lower than a cricket's ass. It's actually a crippled cricket's ass. Matt in Poland Springs. All right, then. Podcast Tuesday. I've got a preview of that coming up a little bit later on. I do want to talk about Josh Gordon. I'll probably hit that when we come back. If it's a really good phone call, I'll skip what it is I want to do to go right to you. Hit us up. It's toll free. Time now for a sports update. Here's the latest on this Tuesday morning for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Just fighting and losing with AIM, as always. AIM jumped in. And believe it or not, I'm not proud of the fact. It is. It's one of these things in my life. One of these things in my business life that I should have upgraded a long, long time ago, but never did out of force of habit. So we still all communicate via AIM. When we don't communicate to each other directly, and we communicate with instant message. Believe it or not, we still use AIM. So come at me as hard as you want, and I've got no response. I deserve whatever heat that I get for it. So AIM just hits me with the message, hey, thanks a lot. You've been an unbelievable customer. You've been an amazing partner. We're going to miss you so much. Remember, we're going dark on December 15th. Yeah, that day can't come soon enough. Not that I've got a solution or an answer for it. I just know this. If I hit return one more time and a message doesn't go, that lapper's going out the window too. That happens at least a half a dozen times a day. So I'm still fighting and losing that battle. 1-800-636-8686. If you need auto parts but you can't get to the store just yet, head to O'ReillyAuto.com. No shipping costs, easy returns, convenient pickup on your schedule. Shop your way for the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Also, Android Nation is all in, coming hard at me. Again, Android Nation, don't care. Use whatever the hell phone you want to use. To me, it's not a reason to go. Operating systems are not a reason to go. Believe me. Let me tell you something. You do not know more about cell phones than I do. You just don't. You don't. You have no idea how much money and time I've spent over the years on phones. I can tell you exactly when it started. I can tell you I had smartphones before there were smartphones. So don't come at me like that. I don't give a damn. I don't care. Great. You're Android. You think Apple sucks. You think iPhones suck. I don't care. Great. But if you're looking for me to get, if you're looking to hook me or get me to bite, it's not going to happen. I like what I have. I use what I have. Use whatever the hell you want. Android Nation. Hey, believe me, I've had all your phones too. I've had them all. I'm a degenerate for phones. I love phones. That's my vice. Some of you like liquor. Some of you like pills. Some of you like sex. Some of you like drugs. I like phones. That's my thing. So you're not telling me something I don't already know. Believe me. Rome, you are spot on with your LeBron take. Facebook is like a roller coaster of emotions. Scroll down some. You'll see somebody's wedding photos from their cliffside beach ceremony. Scroll down a little further, and you'll see somebody's GoFundMe to pay for their medical bills after overcoming a life-threatening rash. I used to think that Facebook was the worst, but LeBron is getting super close. Dean in Tucson wore the Cavs, grounding LeBron for being on his phone too much. All right, then, let's try the phones. We go to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Aaron, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, morning, Rome. I just wanted to respond to Deion Sanders bashing Romo when Romo said he couldn't tackle.
You go right ahead. What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to say he was bashing him, trying to say he wasn't a good player on the field, but Tony Romo holds like four or five records in the Cowboys organization. I mean, that's proof right there that he's a Hall of Famer. The guy is one of the most exciting, most fun players to ever watch in the last 10 years. And in terms of all-time great Cowboys, Tony Romo is higher up on the list than Deion Sanders is in terms of best Cowboys ever. And I'm a huge Cowboys fan. I love Deion Sanders. I hate the Cowboy on Cowboy Crime.
So let me jump in and move this conversation along. All right, Aaron, thank you very much. You just said you're a Cowboy fan, and that Tony Romo is much higher up on the chain of Cowboys than Deion Sanders. I mean, obviously debatable. That's subjective. That's your opinion. Deion Sanders has got multiple rings. Deion Sanders has already got a gold jacket. All the things that he pointed out in that clap back on Tony Romo. What this guy's talking about, and I'm sure you probably saw it, Tony Romo made a crack about Deion Sanders not really liking to wrap up or tackle. I mean, this is not a new criticism. This is not new. Deion has acknowledged this over the years. So Romo said that during the broadcast, and then Deion came back at him way, way harder. I mean, lit him up, lit Tony Romo up, and pointed out all the criticisms of Tony Romo's game and Tony Romo's career. I mean, he clapped back hard. He came at him hard. And the fact of the matter is, what Romo said was not in any way unfair or untrue. I mean, it's what Deion has owned his entire life. He said as much throughout his entire career. You know, from the book, Boys Will Be Boys, there's this one caption. And it says, quote, "One time a running back ran a sweep toward him and Deion dove half-hearted into the turf," says Case. "We were watching film the next day, razzing him pretty good. As serious as could be, he said, quote, I saw that dude coming and I had to make a business decision," end quote. It's one of his most famous quotes. It's one of the most famous quotes ever in the NFL. That a defensive player said, "I saw a guy running at me, so I had to make a business decision." I mean, it's Deion himself saying that in a meeting while they were watching film. Deion also was on record once as saying, quote, "Hey, these shoulders are made for suits, not Brandon Jacobs." Another great quote from Deion. So he owned it. He admitted as much over time. You know, bottom line, Deion was a great player. Deion was not a great tackler. That's not even up for discussion. It's part of his legacy. It doesn't mean that he's not a Hall of Fame player. But just because he's in the Hall of Fame does not mean he was a good tackler. And clearly, for him to react the way he did to Tony Romo, he's still pretty freaking sensitive about it. Great player, Hall of Famer, electric, and maybe the best cover man ever. Not a great tackler. So Romo was not wrong in what he said. Deion was not wrong in what he said about Romo. But clearly, whatever is going on between the two of those guys, it bothers Deion a lot more than it bothers Romo. But that is some cowboy-on-cowboy crime. So that caller just said Deion's the one who's out of line, not Romo. If you want to talk about it, you can. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Wisconsin. Packers get beaten last night. Yeah, I know it's a very unpopular take. And, hey, look, not to give myself credit, You got to have a brass set to put yourself out there the way I did. But I'll say it one more time before the end of hour number one. The Packers are not the same team without Aaron Rodgers. Let's go to Wisconsin. Mark, nice to have you. Mark, how are you?
Rome, thanks for the vine. We are pissed off here on Packer Nation. Ted Thompson, Mark Murphy, and Mike McCarthy need to say, bitch, wake up. This is not going to fly in this country. We are drinking this state out of bottom power as we speak. So Elk better get his butt back up here and get his stock. You cannot have 25 years of Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and only have two Super Bowl titles. Ted Thompson has just built this team with just a sorry defense, praying that Aaron Rodgers gets through the season and pulls miracles out of his ass. This is not going to stand anymore. We need a regime change. We need somebody to come in here, clean this house for Aaron, and get this stuff done. And this is title town, baby. Unwar everything right now because we are too pissed off. I'm out.
Rack him. Unwar everything. Unwar everything right now because we're too pissed off. Yeah, you're in bad shape. Packers are in bad shape. Another tough game from Brett Hundley. And don't look at the numbers. If you didn't watch that game and you only saw the numbers, you think it wasn't that bad. It was that bad. He had a tough game. He had a bad game, and it looks like they've lost Brian Bulaga. They can't do anything right now. So those numbers that he put up were mostly in garbage time. They can't run it. That's a problem. Pretty imperative to run the ball when you've got a young quarterback who is still learning on the fly, trying to get comfortable in that system. That's a problem. They can't get any pressure on the opposing quarterback. That's a problem. Of course, Matt Stafford carved them last night. They've only got 12 sacks for the year. So they've got a quarterback problem, and then they've got other problems. The offensive line's an issue. They can't run the football. Their pass defense is terrible. And in terms of Hundley, really good athlete. He's got upside. I think he's got that strong arm. I think he can make some plays. However, it's going to take some time. And right now, he's doing more things to hurt them than to help them. And by the way, that defense did nothing to help him either. So they're in a bad way. They're not going anywhere. And if you're waiting for Aaron Rodgers to come back and save the day and save the season, that's just not going to happen. As far as the Lions, they had to have it. That was a game that they had to have. In fact, I'll put myself out there again and say their season would have been over if they didn't win that game. It's not a season-saving win. It's a win that keeps their season alive. That doesn't mean they're fine. That doesn't mean that that saved their season. It means they're still alive. Lose that game and their season's over. The Packers, I can pretty much say it's over already. Like he just said, unwar everything. When we come back, Detroit Pistons forward Tobias Harris joins us. That's how we start hour number two, and then we are open right after that. I do want to talk about the Browns next hour and Josh Gordon's admission that he pretty much drank and or baked before every football game going back to college. That's a topic for hour number two. Stay tuned.